personally.
He's not recording?
And then I'll jump into it. They're not gonna be projected overhead, so just, listen. Psalm 139, 13 through 15. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works. Job 37:14-18. Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God dispatches them and causes the light of his cloud to shine? Do you know how the clouds are balanced? These wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. Why are your garments hot when he quiets the earth by the south wind? With him you have spread out the sky strong as a cast. With him have you spread out the sky strong as a cast metal mirror? Psalm 145:4-6. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. The last, I'd say actually a month or so, I have had the dubious honor of running into God's creation and marveling at how awesome it is. Several weeks back, before the weather started turning, I pressure washed our house, our new home. And the front porch just had cobwebs everywhere. Now, the pressure washer is putting out about 2,800 pounds per square inch of pressure. And I could not get those cobwebs to let go. They do not let go. I actually had to get it up there and remove them physically and scrape them off with the washer. But the wind, the pressure would not take what that tiny little spider made and remove it. Today I was in the basement trying to get some things around. I'm installing an add-on wood burner and had to eliminate cobwebs. And it amazed me how tight those things could grab everything. And they will ball up. They look like they're nothing, but they ball up and then they hold dirt and everything else. And out front, off of our hill, I just discovered it the other day, and apparently I was the last one to discover it. But there's a hornet's nest. A paper hornet's nest. Now, we've had some pretty tough wind here lately. This hornet's nest is basically paper. If I were to go up and hit it, I would rip it in half. But in all this wind that has blown down trees and things of that nature, this paper hornet's nest is still hanging in that tree limb. Now, it's a dead nest, so there's no bees in it, and half of it had already deteriorated anyhow, but the upper part that is attached. And I thought, God, how wondrous are your works. You've made these things and man cannot even come up with it. We try to make things as strong as a spider's silk. But yet we can't, so we have to have silkworms make silk for us and harvest it. God got hold of Job. Job got done bellyaching and God said, now let's talk, Job. Do you know how the clouds are balanced? Well, today we now know what clouds are. The sky, it lays out, it's there always. God's creation screams of his wondrous works, of his glory. David, in the first scripture I read, he said, you know my inward parts. We have a new baby right here who was created inside of his mother. Now thanks to technology, we can watch a lot of this stuff and we can see this stuff happening now. But back in David's time, all they knew, mom and dad got together and 3 months later, mama started swelling. That's all they knew. But how God took something, two things microscopic, and he created hair. He created bones. He created blood and flesh. Something microscopic came out 7 pounds or thereabouts.
Or nine.
Yeah.
Almost 10.
Yeah, if you weren't in that family line, it would have been 7 pounds. Being part of that family, you can expect big babies. And so out of that, and out of that little boy, is probably going to come somebody the size of his daddy. That is the wondrous works of God at work. We're always waiting. The only time we rejoice and we praise God is when something good happens in our life that day. When the very things that frustrate, I mean, cobwebs, come on, seriously. Does anybody like getting cobwebs in your hair? You're walking through the woods and next thing you know, you went on ninja because you just walked through a cobweb. The truth of the matter is we fail to realize God created that little spider. Most of the time you can't see these spiders. It's not the great big garden variety spiders that make all these things in your basement. It's the spiders you really can't see. And the detail that God has put into each and every one of our lives. That we're all different. That there are 7 billion people on the planet right now, and nobody is the same. Your fingerprints are different. Your DNA is different. But yet science now knows that we can go back and we can locate where you came from in the world. Because God created, DNA, I don't remember what D and N stand for, but I know A is acid. Yeah, it's a word I can't pronounce. And
acid.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, DNA for those of us. Yeah. But with that, God created, he formed you. There was the plan for you. Oh, boy. And then out of the entire world, an atom. You cannot see the thing. They have to have microscopes so powerful, it just blows my mind to even try to think about it. An atom, and that's the basis of all life. Everything is contained in that. And David, in their definitive knowledge, he said, "You know me. You knew me in my mother's womb." God knew who David was. God knew David's DNA. God knew what David was going to be predisposed to. He knew what color of hair David was going to have. He knew everything about that boy before he was born. And coming down the road, we're coming up to Thanksgiving. You know, I didn't participate in the 26 days or whatever it is. 30 days of Thanksgiving, and I'm seeing a lot of people, we thank God for all those things. Have we ever stopped to look at the little things around us? God, that tree, what it took for that little tree. I've got 11 cottonwoods growing up my driveway, and each one of them started as a pesky little floating piece of cotton. long I got to think these were planted, but I'm not sure why anybody would intentionally plant cottonwoods, but for her. See, I wanted white. I'd like to have had a birch, but birch don't do real good here. So I like sycamore trees. Huge sycamore. I love beautiful white sycamore trees. And she likes the cottonwoods because they remind her of the farm. We have cottonwoods, and I have the sycamores out in the front across the neighbor so I can see. God knew I was going to like that. But you see, every little thing. And science. Today, science is trying. One, they're still trying to say that there is no God and that we all happen just by accident. That those particular chemicals and atoms got together and boom. And here, I watched the movie the other day, and the movie itself was actually a good movie. It was just something the guy said in the very beginning that was moronic. It says, we all come from the sea, and some of us go back. It was a surfing movie. It was based on a true story, which is what made it really good, but we all come from the sea. Think about the lie right there. Where did God create man? On dry land. But we try to say that man came from the primordial pool and he crawled out of the pond and, you know. But God took time to specify that when he was creating Adam, folks, you got to think about just how wondrous God created Adam. That Bobby, when he created Adam, he saw you in Adam. He saw Cheryl. He saw all of us when he created one man. And how awesome he is. Most of us have seen the Louis Giglio presentations. And I got to tell you, they are phenomenal. We might just watch another one, the same one again. I don't care. I mean, I'm just in total amazement when I see those things. Knowing that back, even Nostradamus and Da Vinci and all these other people, as smart as they were, as much as they knew about the sky, they could not see what we can see today. And we have discovered stars that make our sun look like a period at the end of a fine print Bible. And God created those. And just today, I just read it in the news today. It said, rare fish caught off the coast of Canada. Has anybody seen that picture? This thing is, by our standards, hideous. I don't think it's a goblin. I think it is the goblin fish, maybe. It's got a real long nose. It's a deep sea fish. And it's got this mouth that looks like it's off of Alien. You know, one mouth opens up and this one comes out. It's the one that gets you. It's got a mouth. I mean, its gums and its teeth are exposed. This thing is, by our standards, not pretty. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, God, we say that's ugly. But you said it's beautiful. Most of us would be terrified at something like that, wouldn't we? We see some of those creatures down and come, oh, that's just fearful. And God made it. So let me ask you this. Why is it we're calling something ugly that God created and said was beautiful? Because we don't fully understand every aspect of God. I was just sitting there thinking before I came up. C.S. Lewis, you know, most of us know the stories of The Hobbit and Lord of, you know, we're watching them, most of them. And even Tolkien, you know, they told these stories of fantastical creatures. We call them half man, half animal, whatever. But there was, what if? That's why I'm going to just leave that right there. What if there really pictures of demons, and that's what we're terrified of. The truth of the matter is, if we're going to look at a demon, go look at the goblin fish. It would qualify in my book. I mean, a great white shark would instill enough fear in me. You don't even have to go down that far to find those. But yet, God is in those things too. A hyena. Come on, it's got to be one of a warthog. They've got to be two of the ugliest animals walking by our standards. But God said, I want them. See, we all have different tastes and different likes. I've had people tell me my little black cabriolet is ugly. I don't care. I like it. You want another car that a lot of people say is ugly and I think it's pretty cool? Joshua agrees. It's a Volkswagen thing. I think they're stinking awesome. Weenie motors, but I think my lawnmower's got more horsepower. But you see, it's all in what we see. When we see one person, they come in, they're wearing black, and they got chains and tattoos and piercings. And we say, oh, that's ugly. What does God think about it? Are they not still fearfully and wonderfully made? They were created the exact same way you are. But something in them said, I associate here. I understand this. I can identify here. Now, I'm not talking about these weird, twisted people that think they go to the cemeteries and they think that's where you got to pray and get close to God. Cemeteries don't bother me. There's nothing there. I used to actually like to hang out, but I was only trying to scare people when I was trying to do that. Yeah. When Angela and I lived in town here, that was one of our favorite places to go walk. Oh, yeah. There's some really beautiful ones.
Yeah. Here, ever, in the springtime.
Oh, yeah.
The lilac trees.
Yeah. By the way, you do know that's what the Garden of Gethsemane was. It was a cemetery. It wasn't a rose garden. It was the cemetery. And Jesus went there often to pray. But you see, we're living in an imperfect world and we're calling everything that God created ugly. Now he said, God was the one who said, don't cross animals. Now we have. We have mules. We have other animals. We have Doberman Pinschers. They're a cross. They're not a purebred. We've done that. And see, and man doesn't know why God said not to do this. It's not because, well, man, you know, working on God's creation. It's like, well, first off, Doberman Pinscher, you want to know why they get mean when they get older? Because they have the brain of the Rottweiler, but the head of the Greyhound. Brain pushing on bone, gonna drive you a little mean too. And mules, they can't reproduce. They're genetically incapable. They will look male or female, but they will not be able to reproduce. That's man's way of getting on God's. So, you know, when I'm tempted, I found myself, you know, even today when I was cleaning those cobwebs out of the floor joists and off the ductwork and stuff, I almost found myself complaining about it, but then I had to think, after the third swipe on the same cobweb to get it to free, God, how strong he made those things. You know, we're trying to, we're flying now up into the stratosphere with our planes. But yet, eagles have been flying above the clouds for thousands of years. We still cannot get beyond the power of a buzzard's sense of smell. or an eagle's eyesight. That they can be flying over a lake and see the fish through the glaring water and swoop down and catch that fish and come back up. We just can't fathom. Or how about a salmon to be able to swim upstream and up a dam? That they were able to figure out how to get up over something man created. In this holiday, this holiday of Thanksgiving, we should give thanks for everything God has done. Whether it's an ugly car, some people think they're cute. Whether it's an ugly dog. Now I got it. There is one. I am not for certain if it's a hybrid or if it's one that's naturally this ugly. But it looks like a chihuahua that's been skinned with white hair and gnarly teeth. I have no idea what's on with that thing. Somebody likes them. I think I'll stick with the beagle and the basset hound. Yeah, there's people that like them. Oh, I promise you. Even more amazing part, I think we were talking about this the other night. We were talking about Bigfoot. You know, how Bigfoot's becoming big again. I have a cousin who went Bigfoot watching, looking, hunting, whatever he called it. I thought, well, if he's as big as what they say, do you really want to be in the woods with him? Just saying. But God talked to Job about creatures that we've tried to describe as hippopotamuses and crocodiles. God called one a dragon, and then it had fire in its belly. And he said, can you catch the Leviathan with a hook? You can't catch a hippopotamus with a hook, which, by the way, they'll kill you. They aren't these docile, New Zoo Review. Can't remember. Big old hippo. Henrietta Hippo.
Yeah.
They're not Henrietta Hippo. What looks like a docile creature just floating in the water is one of the has killed more people than probably lions in Africa. Because people look, oh, it's so docile, look at big flat teeth. Yeah, all the better just squash you. And all of these things, the beauty that God has created in the world. And if you ever get the opportunity to go snorkeling, you don't have to go diving, just go snorkeling. You have got to take it. Don't panic, you will learn to readjust your breathing. But the beauty that is below the water. I thank God that I did it. And I remember the first time we actually started finding some fish. And we came across a lionfish. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just got all kinds of, they look like they're coral. Well, yeah, they got the barbs on them.
Yeah.
They're deadly.
Yes, they are.
And the guy that's with me, he found a 7-Up bottle and he's over there poking the thing.
That's not a thing.
No, it's not. But how beautiful that thing was just sitting there in the coral. And then all these little blue fish and yellowfish and all the other fish and starfish. You've never seen the different quantities and styles of starfish or how big they really are. See, most people you see starfish are about the size of my hand, right? I caught one, and when it dried up, it was this size, the size of my hand. But when I picked him up out of the water, all I know is my head was about to explode. It was about 20, 25 feet down. He was that big. He had expanded, but by the time I got to the top, he had decompressed. And a conch shell. We've got one in the bathroom. Somebody cut the end out of the bullet, and I thought, who first thought of cutting the end off of one of these things to make it a horn? But to see how God created that creature to crawl through the sand, And you can see in their shell each new layer that they build. Just like a nautilus, you can see the splendor of God in that. The durability of the things that God has made, and the fallacy of what we do. Today we're so consumed with instant gratification that, well, hey, plastic and paper are perfect, aren't we? Europe, people in Europe and other countries, they actually ridicule the United States because our buildings are disposable. Part of that, I thought, well, but I got to tell you, after going to Kiev and seeing a city that was there early 1400s, before that, I mean, this was a massive, and to see the rock that they carved out, they didn't carve out little tiny rocks the size of that pulpit. The rocks were about 10 feet tall. And they built not just one building, but they connected a mile, maybe 2 miles worth of building, 3 and 4 stories tall. And how that stuff has even stood war. But yet, you go to the Rocky Mountains, and you look out, and you can see the splendor of God. You go to the Shenandoah Valley, you can see the splendor of God. You go to Mohican. You can see every little thing that God created, every little thing that God put on this earth for you to enjoy. I've actually had to quit complaining about those things because it's like, you know what? First of all, complaining just breeds complaining, doesn't it? Next thing you know, you're complaining about this, you're complaining about that. You know what? Those spiders, God put them there for a purpose. There's not very, very many flying bugs in my basement, but I guess they've got other purposes. If not, anything keeps Justin out of the basement. Pat was just telling me tonight about the deer he saw today. It's a pretty big old buck. I know the spot in the field where he was talking. He just stood there. You want to see something majestic? Now, in your headlights, they're not majestic. Okay? I understand that. Your crosshairs, maybe. But to see that deer in all of its glory. And its very life brings praise to its creator. Do you know that's how we're supposed to be? I've talked on it before about praise and how we come to church and we think, oh, we're going to offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise is actually us living our life and bringing glory to God with it. That brings him more praise. God gets more glory. That's why I read it. I had to actually pick those four sections of scripture to read to you. Because David in particular talked about the glory and the wondrous works that God does. But yet the only time we praise him is when he does something for us. That's when we talk about it. God, I'll tell you what God did. And those are great. Don't get me wrong. That's our testimonies. But we should always talk. I have become reacquainted with the stars. I'm going to actually start learning the constellations. Because somewhere along the line, I lost the Little Dipper. I can find the Big Dipper. All I got to do is go out and stand on my barn bank, and it's there bigger than life.
Well, it should look pretty darn close to it.
Yeah. It's huge.
Well, the Little Dipper should be
there. Well, I know. The Little Dipper pours into the Big Dipper,
yes.
But for some reason,
you can't find it.
I can't find it anymore. But you know, in all that, and even God pointed out to Job, he said, I put Orion's belt there. I did that. You know, he hung those things intentionally. And you know what's awesome? I want to know what God was thinking when he hung them there. Because it wasn't Orion's belt he was thinking about. It wasn't Leo. But he knew that's what we would call him. God, what were you thinking about when you put those three stars right there in the God had a point for all of it. As a matter of fact, he said it's all there for, tell us the seasons and the times. Nothing God did, nothing God's doing in your life to bring you around to being who you need to be was ever by accident. It was by design. Everything that has happened to us, we like to thank God for the good times. But do you know the bad times shaped you more than the good times? You think I'm kidding? Go out west and look at the rock formations. The bad times shaped those rock formations. It wasn't good weather, it was the bad weather. The Colorado River carved the Grand Canyon. You are who you are because of the things God allowed to form you. Yeah, they broke your heart at the time, but you will be stronger. You will be better. And better yet, you'll be able to help people. You'll be able to minister to other people who have experienced it. So we should thank Him for the bad with the good. Thank Him for the ugly things with the pretty things. But always just remember to thank Him. When your heart is full of thanksgiving, there's no room for complaining about what you got. Boo-hoo, God, I don't have this, I don't have that. Start thanking for what you do have and watch what He does. God never once moved on somebody's life. Look in the Bible. He never moved on their life just because they were bellyaching and moaning and groaning. Well, Pastor, it said that God heard. He said, I heard the cry of my children in Egypt. Yeah, God also said they had 400 years to put up with it, to be there. Other than that, He wasn't moving. They were bellyaching the whole time. I've been bellyaching the first time somebody put a whip across my rear end. God, you do something about Him or I am. God didn't move because of that. And we lose the blessing of God in our life because we start complaining about what we don't have. Or we complain about what we do have. This little thing in between our teeth is a vile thing. New Testament puts it this way. It's a fire. And if you can bridle it, if you contain this thing, you're a good person. Paul put it this way. It's how, I think it was Paul, how a tiny little rudder a ship can steer this great big ship in the water. And that's how our tongue is. James, that's what I was thinking. I just like saying Paul. Yeah, you're usually pretty safe with Paul. You can't think of who it was. And how we have got to control that. When we quit complaining about those things and start thanking God for them, risen above. You've taken one, what I've said, and taught you, and you've put it into practice. We have 238 boxes. Now, this is not anything to be prideful about, but just so you know, that is the lowest. This is a bad time to be doing this. Bad time is the best time to sow seed. Ask Isaac. You've taken the opportunity. Not only are you sowing a gift to a child in another country, and even in this country, just not as many of them are dispersed here. And I'll be honest with you, and rightfully so. There are people that got all their shorts all up in a knot because they're not going to the United States. You know what? Go down the street, you know right where the family lives, and take them something. You don't need a stinking shoebox to do that with. Take them a bag of groceries. That speaks the gospel more than anything. But you're taking and sending the gospel with a gift to a little child. About Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think it's bad in the United States, there's a generation that's never been to church. They don't know what church is about.